Broadcasting from within the borders of the greatest success story the world has ever known, the United States of America. It's time for an honest discussion from a fresh new conservative voice. The C.L. Bryant Show.
Welcome back, everybody, throughout the fruited plains of the greatest nation on the face of the planet and the greatest success story the world has ever known, and that is America. I want to thank each and every one of you daily as you come along with us to build this bridge and building this bridge to conversation throughout our great nation. I'm CL. This is the CL Bryant Show, and I want to again tell you how much I appreciate you coming along with us daily. Hey, friends, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced heartbreak or any of that type of thing. You know, it's a very, very, very painful thing until it's mended. And America, I have a feeling, you know, you have not felt the type of heartbreak that we may be in line to feel if, in fact, we lose this senatorial election in Georgia. You know, friends, one of the emptiest feelings that you can possibly have is the feeling that you've lost something precious that you cannot retrieve. You cannot get it back. America, I said this to you yesterday, and out of the depths of my soul, I want to say this again to you today. America, there are some things that we cannot allow to happen through our frivolous, we can become. And Americans, that is probably the worst thing that any of us can become, is frivolous about the thing, the people that matter most. And if your nation, if your country means anything to you, if you love it like our foreparents loved it, then you need to make the adjustments that's necessary to make that love of country grow. There might be people, there might be a person, whoever in your life that has to go along with it. It does begin right there in our own little cubbyholes, right there in our own homes with the people that we care about. Let them know that. And hey, Americans, understand this. You can cry, you can whine all you want. Sometimes, once it's over, that's it. You don't want to get to that. We don't want to get to that. We don't have to. So think about what you have to lose. Think about what you wanted. Think about the things that you have already come through, and then for whatever reason, God still blesses you with that thing that has eased your pain. Like a good, strong economy when the president was absolutely in his heyday. Even in the midst of everything else that was going on, God still blessed. And even in the midst of whatever's going on in your American life, believe me, God will still bless you if you will trust him. I don't know where it was along the way, and many of us in our own way can't really identify, and maybe if we thought back on it long and hard enough, I know exactly where my train that my passenger train that I was riding on, I know exactly where it derailed, and I know exactly where I decided to get back on the train, or after I thought I had picked up the pieces, got back on the train, and met people that God had sent to help. And what'd you do? Americans, we take even them for granted because we get into our own frivolity, our own living, only own way of living, and we forget that there is a certain methodology to living a healthy American life. Christian lives can be said to be the same way. Married lives can be said to be the same way. Prospective married lives can be said to be the same way. There's a lot of things that we're going to examine here today. I want you to come along with me as we do. Are you frivolous? Huh? Oh, sometimes I should raise both my hands because I have been. But America, if you have lost something through your frivolity, realize that that's exactly what it was. Because many times we cannot be honest enough with ourselves to actually say that the issue is you. America, I believe that the issue is you. My pastor, James McManus, I'll meet with him tomorrow. It's always said that. Has always said that to me for the last several months. The issue is you. America, that lesson and that message is for you as well. The issue is you. Maybe it's that for all of us. Coming up in the show today will be a black farmer that I want you all to become reacquainted with. Now, he has been on the show before, Corey Lee. He's executive director of the Cowtown Foundation Incorporated, working to free black farmers from the overreach of the USDA. Yeah, working to free them from the overreach of USDA. And then I'm going to have on with me the newly elected chair, Kenny Nail, of the St. Lucie County, Florida GOP. Most of you have heard me say that that is most likely my relocation point. Right now, my face is fixed like a flint toward ministry there. Many things that I must do there. So the conversation today is going to be huge. Corey Lee will tell you that the Biden administration, as they are trying to do, as they're beginning to come in, and the president has not yet conceded, as far as I'm concerned, if Biden, if the votes are not certified signature wise and all of this type of thing, Joe Biden for me will never be the legitimate president of the United States, and certainly Kamala Harris, who he chose to be his vice president, if for whatever reason and she would ascend to the presidency, if he was not a legitimate president, then there is no way that what? She could be a legitimate VP and certainly would continue being an illegitimate president if she assumed the office for whatever reason. so many people believe that that will be the way this thing pans out here in the not too distant future, is that Kamala Harris will become president of the United States, becoming the first woman of color, because in the true essence, now Cicely Tyson is what I would call it. And I'm not talking about the color of her skin, but I'm talking about Cicely Tyson, Oprah Winfrey, you name them, Vanessa Williams, let's get the colors of the rainbow in here, would all be considered, if they were president of the United States, the first black president, Shirley Chisholm, Condoleezza Rice, I consider them the first black woman president of the nation. Barack Obama had no slave history here whatsoever. He was from Kenya. His father's from Kenya. His mother, I think her roots run into Canada. He had no slave history here. Al Sharpton would have made a better black president, if you wanted to label it that, than Barack Hussein Obama, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no question about it. And when we think about why it is that every time, and I mean, folks, it's every time now that prominence has been available to black folks to access the White House, whether it's president and now VP, I want you to notice something. They never get one of us. Oh, I know I just played a card I should not have played, maybe, but I'm playing this card. I'm going to play this card. What I mean to you, America, when they present even a black or a person of color to you who calls themselves black or whatever, they never get one of us. They always get someone who really does not have any history in this country. It's like we would nominate or put somebody in office every time for president who's Caucasian, that would be from Canada. Or whose parents were from Canada. They have no real American roots here. I'm not prejudiced against those who are naturalized and somehow rise to the level that would make them president. I'm not angry at anyone. But I'm just saying what they want to present to you. And what, in so many cases, black people vote for in such emotional ways because, oh, the first black person. No, they're not. They're the first people of color, yeah, to be put in office. But the first black president has still not been elected. There has been the first black first lady. Oh, yeah. Michelle's, she has pedigree. Barack did not. And neither does Kamala Harris. She doesn't have it either. She ain't pedigree here. And Barack did not either. And so what I am saying to you is that there is an accountability that has to be seen to. And folks, I had a situation just recently where I had an opportunity to really be an instrument, a vessel of teaching and pouring out of knowledge, and I have to get that again. And you may have allowed that to pass you by as well. It is truly everything is about ministry, especially if you look at it from the perspective of a Judeo-Christian citizen of this nation. Everything's about ministry. The minister of this, the minister of that, the minister of economics, whatever. We let them hold cabinet posts and we call them secretaries and so forth, but that simply means a secret taker, secret keeper, secretary, secret taker, secret keeper. Wow, I just said that to someone not long ago, a few days ago, and that's exactly what I want to have, and that's what America needs, is someone who can hold dear to their hearts the secrets of this country. Espionage in the highest levels is being detected from hypocritical senators to hypocritical preachers who all need to repent. Lord, I do. Do you, Americans? What is it that you, America, need to realize or let go of? Very clear to me. There might be some things in your grief, and we've all experienced this in these last 10 months. We've all experienced in our own way. Some people have taken their lives. Some people have been in very dark places. Very dark places. But God has allowed them the grace to make it back. America has been in very dark places. But somehow, because of, I believe, our Judeo-Christian foundation, God, that creator God that's in our documents, our founding documents, he sustained us for a better day. And listen, I believe, I must believe this, that he is sustaining me. You, I pray, he is sustaining you for a better day with better people and better situations for everyone involved. With God's help, we will. And folks, when I bring on Corey Lee here in just a few minutes, when I bring him on, I am going to, he'll come on at 11:30. I am going to want you to listen closely to the sham that he is going to describe to you. Now, if anybody should be upset, if anybody should be marching in the street, it should be these black farmers. Because these black farmers are, they have land, they have ability, they have know-how. But there's overreach that is affecting them through the USDA. You're going to find out more about that. Oh, you see it every time you go to the store. The meat has it on. Well, I guess that's not from Mexico. I don't know. I don't think Mexican meat has USDA stamp on. I don't know. But we'll see. And then Kenny Nail, St. Lucie County, Florida, GOP chair, will be on with me. I had a chance to talk to him a few Sunday nights ago at the Civic Center there in the county in Port St. Lucie. Very interesting guy. Seems very energetic, and he wants to make a difference, and I want to help him. I'm going to help him. And with God's help, we will make that difference. So I don't want you to go anywhere. Stay with me. I'll be back in just a few minutes with Corey Lee. He is the executive director of the Cowtown Foundation Incorporated. Be right back with more of the C.L. Bryant Show. If you don't get both hours of the C.L. Bryant Show, download free the C.L. Bryant Show app on your phone.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities.
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Are lifted high. Our hearts are bowing in reverence.
CL back with you on this great day in the USA. Thank all of you for coming along with us daily as we build the bridge to conversation right here on the CL Bryant Show, coast to coast and border to border, over the Talk Monster, the largest talk platform in the nation, Red State Talk Radio. And I want to thank all of you who, of course, listen to us regularly and daily. Traveling through Times Square, look up above Ripley's. Believe it or not, that iconic building also houses our billboard there in Times Square. And every hour, 24 hours a day, the CL Bryant Show does pop up there on the big screen. And old CL's face is looking right back at you. Well, folks, I was telling you about the shams that are going on and have gone on in this country. And a lot of that sham does involve, believe it or not, those who are quite capable of bringing food, vegetables, everything to your table. And some of them, many of them, are in black skin in this country. And somehow the USDA seems to be having a very heavy hand with them. Joining me now, again, want to bring him back to the show, is Corey Lee, Executive Director of the Cowtown Foundation, Inc. And he's working to free the black farmers from the overreach of the USDA. Corey, welcome back to the CL Bryant Show. How have you been, friend? And tell us about what's going on.
Man, I've been wonderful, man. I'm, you know, quietly doing the Lord's work, and there have been so many people along the way that's been helping us get where we need to be to kind of right some of the wrongs of the past, and so that the present farmers can to have their justice and future farmers can have a farm to go to. And once again, I'd like to thank you for bringing me back on your platform. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Always great to talk to you, Corey, because you are a man of substance and purpose. And, man, we need more just like you out there. Tell us about the overreach. How is and in what ways is the USDA heavy-handedly dealing with black farmers?
Well, back in 1999, the USDA reached a settlement agreement with black farmers to where they admitted to systemic discrimination over decades beforehand. And so it was supposed to be about a $2.5 billion, $2.3 billion settlement. And what has happened is that they repudiated the agreement. And so they used the court systems in Washington, D.C. to basically maybe give one or two farmers, I think there was 17,000 farmers who prevailed in the class, and only 300 and maybe 80 got debt relief that was promised. And then 7,000 farmers that actually own farms, and some of them, you know, with large tracts of land, 4,000 acres, no better, you know, they were denied any justice at all. And so as time has elapsed, they went back to doing the same old things. And so we got caught up in a political process. And, you know, and both sides are guilty, but both sides are guilty. But I'm hoping that as every year to go by, that black politicians and even friends of black farmers will go ahead and find their voice and do what's right. And so we have a wonderful lady and a mutual friend of Vivian Childs. Oh, yeah. She is like Harriet Tubman.
Yeah.
I mean, she has been on the ground with us. You know, she has gotten us into places that we have never dreamed of getting into to try and resolve these problems. And now What we're facing is, so now we're having a transition. You know, I tell people all the time, I say, you know, both parties are guilty for the oppression of black farmers. And I said, for example, when President Obama was in office, the Congressional Black Caucus, well, they didn't want to do anything to upset his presidencies because they said that their constituents would rake him over the polls. But at the same time, we're losing 1,000 acres of land a year at the hands of the USDA. And so, you know, so they're not without fault.
Let me ask you this, because you mentioned something that is always on the television screen, and many times we dismiss this word because it is used by the wrong people. But folks, I'm telling you now that this word is being used by the right person, because you are seeing the hypocrisy of both parties, the hypocrisy of the American government when it comes to the black farmer systemically doing this through a governmental agency like the USDA. Corey, is there something that you can identify that would help us realize how systemic this can be?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty straightforward and easy. For example, when a similar situated white farmer has a grievance with the USDA on, you know, on some kind of program loan, he can file a complaint with the administrative law judge office. Within 180 days, he'll have a one-day mini trial where he can get, you know, his records and a representative or themselves go before this judge. If they're victorious, within 15 days, he has his money. And basically, he's never out of business. But since 2000, there have been over 14,000 black farmers to file complaints. And they send their complaints to the Assistant Secretary of Civil Rights, where he doesn't get to see what the investigation curtails of. In fact, only four black farmers have received an administrative decision since the year 2000, and none of the four actually got any monetary damages outside of a court forcing them to do something, and that was a fluke, so to speak. And so they used that process to basically further oppress black farmers and to get the land. Even when Congress stepped in to act to place a moratorium provision on these socially disadvantaged farmers that had pending complaints, well, they used the D.C. Circuit Court, D.C. District Court, D.C. Circuit Court, to basically circumvent the congressional acts. And so with people not speaking up, the whole cycle continues, and they were using the federal courts to do it.
Wow. Wow. Let me interject this in here, Corey. Hold that thought. I want you to continue this. But, folks, while you're listening to this, and I know that many thousands of you listening across the nation right now, listen to what is being said here. Your government actually takes and gives money to people who would burn stuff down, riot, loot, all of that kind of thing in destruction of a nation. Here are black farmers who are producers. Either you're a consumer or you're a producer in this nation. That's the way it is in life. These men are producers. Yet the same government that will give money to those who would destroy our nation will not subsidize and help the black farmer who is a prototype of what we want to see happen for everybody in this nation, and that is bring something to the table. Corey, would you say that that's a good description of what's happening here?
That's an accurate summary of what's going on. And what COVID has shown us, so when COVID went down, there were, again, the USDA, between that and in some other political things, similar situated white farmers got $46 billion and black farmers got absolutely nothing. And so one thing that has happened in 2020, and I'm glad to finally live to see it happen, is that those who become a friend of our movement, and I think that in 2022, whether it's President Trump or the new administration that will sign this executive order, they will be rewarded at the polls, because we're tired, as you spoke of earlier, of the lip service from both sides. and we get nothing for it but heartaches. And then I'm tired of going into homes of older black men and women and watching them to cry and to lose everything they've ever worked for no fault of their own. And somebody has to take a stand to stop this madness. And so we're going to hold everybody accountable to how they treat us. And again, we spoke of earlier, our mutual friend of Vivian Childs.
Yes, wonderful woman, wonderful woman.
Oh, she is tireless in this cause. And I'm glad that you're giving me the opportunity to explain to what's going on there, or that's going on right now. You know, if President Trump says, you know what, Corey Lee, you're right. Put something in front of me and let's fix this right now. The red side will be rewarded in 2022. That's a promise. Because even those who said they are friends, the politicians of the black farmers, they're not. Because I can go over and over and over of certain circumstances that happened with the Obama thing. Oh, we don't want to upset his administration.
I can.
You expect my people in my community to die because they were too scared to touch our issue? No, they will pay the price too. So nobody is going to sit here again from this day forward and tell us what they're going to do just to get our vote and then ride off into the sunset. The party that comes to the table will be rewarded.
And then it will
also spawn the thought process of who should our allegiance really be to?
I like it, Corey. Let me say this. Corey Lee is my special guest. He is the executive director of the Cowtown Foundation, Inc. And hey, folks, working to free the black farmers from the overreach of the USDA. Corey, if you will forward that to Michelle, I will run it up. I sit on one of the president's advisory boards. In fact, Black Voices for Trump, Vivian, and I have access to people who can get this in front of him right quick. And that has to happen right quick, actually, if he's going to do any type of executive order. And I'd love to see that be the president. So if you can send that over to her, I will dispatch that as soon as I receive it. And I want to help you in any way that I possibly can. Are you saying to us, Corey Lee, that the black farmer in so many cases, the one you're talking about, when you go into the older black farmer's house, they have been put out of business because they have not actually received the same consideration as their counterparts?
It's two parts to that. One, they won a settlement, and it was supposed to relieve the debt that they incurred over the years, and they never received it. And so the USDA doubled down to come back to take those farms and said, well, we didn't say that we were going to give you that debt. And so it was a 15- to 20-year plan that was put together, and we're starting to realize the fruition of what the real issue was. And so that, and even going forward from 1999, they still can't get, for the most part, the loans, and if they do get loans from the USDA, they don't get it in a timely fashion. The crops go in the ground in March and April. They might not get their loan until August. So then what are they going to do?
Wow. Well, you know, I come from farmers, and I know exactly what you just described, and that is disaster. Let me ask you this then. Is this a land grab? It sounds like this is a land grab, like you owe your soul to the company store, and when you can't pay, they take your property. Has that been going on as well?
That is exactly what's been going on. And like it says, but the USDA could not have done this without the help of some of the federal judges. And what they do is that the agreement says that all these cases that for these Pickford class members are supposed to be resolved in D.C., the USDA will go to the federal courts and where the real estate is located, and they'll foreclose on them. And when the farmer brings up, say, hey, wait a minute, I won this case, the judges just overlook it, and they take their property. You know, there's not enough time in the day of the cases that I could tell you what has happened to black farmers unjustly, and that now is the time that President Trump or whoever fix this problem. And again, and I cannot overstate this, whoever fixes this problem by executive order will be rewarded. If not 2022, it will happen in Georgia, because then we got something for our time. And that could really be the balance. That could really be the check and balance, or how the pendulum swings over in that Senate race down in Georgia.
This has to be brought. Michelle, we must bring this to the forefront immediately. And hey, let me give you, of course, it's much too close to Christmas to be giving you too many kudos, Michelle. I don't want to get that Christmas bonus out too early. But just the same, I'm glad that you brought Corey to the show today. America needs to hear this. And it sounds as though there are too many judges absolutely disregarding things that they should be paying attention to. And one of them, you would think, before you grant a foreclosure and a seizure of a property, is the fact that there has been a case won that should immune that property from being foreclosed on. So, Corey, something's terribly wrong. And as is so many things in this country right now, but I'm glad that we got a chance to talk to you about it. Hey, man, I'm going to be calling you myself. It'll probably be over the weekend. I'm going to be making it back up to Georgia soon, and I want to meet with you when I get up there. And so, Corey, I want to thank you for coming on with me. Listen, continue to fight the good fight. I know that you will, because you are. We're going to bring attention to your cause.
I thank you so much for having me, and Godspeed ahead with you, Mr. Brown.
God bless and keep you, Mr. Lee. I'll talk to you soon. I'm CL. This is the CL Bryant Show. That was Corey Lee. He is the executive director of the Cowtown Foundation, Inc., working to free the black farmers from overreach of the USDA. Now, conservatives, hear me. Conservatives, whatever stripe you may be, hear me. I'm going to talk about this in this next segment, the last segment of this first hour. If you don't get both hours of the show, please download the C.L. Bryant Show onto your favorite device. Listen wherever you go. I want to point out to you, when I return, just how backwards, that's granddaddy right there, just how backwards all of this is when we talk about the black producing farmer, as opposed to the government subsidized inner city. You don't want to miss this conversation. I'm going to say something to you. And then after I come back, I'm going to talk to a fellow by the name of Kenny Nail there in Port St. Lucie. And hey, listen, I was able to attend a gathering there in Port St. Lucie on Sunday night. They brought in, if you hadn't asked me, I'd have told you his name, a bishop from North Carolina. And he made me think about possibilities in a place like Port St. Lucie, and it's a perfect place for a message that I think that I know God is giving me to come from. And I thank him for, even though I don't understand, but I thank him for the methodology by which he has directed and has guided me to that area. And what Satan may have intended for evil, for bad, believe me, and you know who you are, I know God can turn this to good. Something outstanding. I'm CL. This is CL Bryant's show. It's time to suit up. Huh? I don't know if you can ride, but it's time to slap leather. The Republic is falling. I'll be back. I want you to see something. I'm going to tell you when I come back.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Stand up for America. Then Americans, stand up, stand up, stand up. God bless you. God bless America.
Do the best I can, always in the helping hand, and for the flag I stand.
I'll wait right here until the Spirit comes and move at God's command. And that's what I had been accustomed to doing. And actually, when I got the unction and the direction that Port St. Lucie was somewhere that I would be going, it was, I was coming out, attempting to, a very dark tunnel. I was traveling thinking that maybe that could ease whatever distress I was feeling. After the loss of my wife, it just memorialized her. And after months of not being able to gather at all, you know. And talk about things that you don't understand and having to move at the command, the unction of, in my discipline, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. That's what I experience, and that's what I am experiencing right now, is the waiting upon the Lord. Now, listen to me. You and I know that we spend tons of money. I'm talking about taxpayer dollars now. Tons of money that go to able-bodied people, red, yellow, black, and white, brown, yet red, yellow, black, brown, and white. We always leave the browns out of that one. But everybody who has paid taxes and is paying taxes, you are giving to, in many cases, people who are able-bodied non-producers. Able-bodied non-producers. We give them billions. Yes, billions of dollars. I just had on the show with me a farmer, a black farmer, Corey Lee, Cowtown Foundation. He's the president of that, executive director, Cowtown Foundation. And Corey Lee has described to you just how egregiously hypocritical and manipulative the federal government and the news media is when it comes to dealing with the farmer. Now, listen, I come from farm stock. I still, in fact, I pay it off here. I had sickness in my family and my wife and a daughter, and I mortgaged. Man, I tell you what, those deductibles and all that kind of stuff ain't cheap. I had mortgaged a piece of property, And glory to God, I'm paying that off today. Glory to God. And I understand what it is to produce, to work, sweat, bleed on your property, on your ground. My goodness, I mean, I don't know how many times I thought I could handle a piece of barbed wire without my gloves, and there it goes. Just rip your hands. So your blood's in the soil. Sweat is in the soil. And not only that, the blood of your fathers and your grandfathers, your mama and people who came before you, it's in the soil. These farmers, for generations, and you heard Corey Lee tell you that there are some that have 4,000 acres, tracts of land, that for some reason, the government, the feds, are able to manipulate that, finagle that, in such a way that they lose generational property. I promise my grandmother, you know, I don't know what my kids may do with it, but at least I'll keep my word. I promise my grandmother on her deathbed, I would not sell the farm that she left to us, me and my cousins. I promised I'd not sell my share. I don't know what my cousins may do. And I know they haven't sold theirs. I know they haven't. And so what you're looking at is people who are being, oh my God, I don't even know if mistreated is the word. These people are being stomped on. And people who do not produce, the black farmer, the farmer, period, brings food to the table. I understand what many are talking about, welfare for farmers, and I understand that. But even that should be equitable, don't you think? Yeah, even that should be equitable. So, my friends, when we ask ourselves, how can we give money? We stand by and give money to those who are physically able to work. And we penalize through the USDA. And when I say we, I'm talking about us collectively as Americans, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. If we have to deal with the color schemes. I am saying to you that we stand by and see those who are physically able to work, have no children, have nothing to, you know, they're physically able. But yet we're subsidizing their lives with cash money, with money. And we will not bail out a willing farmer. We stand by and let him be. That's brutalized. You know, it's brutalized because, oh my God, this man is forfeiting generational property because he can't do what his foreparents did on the property. My goodness. There are regulations that are killing us. And there are methods and methodologies that are being exposed to the light of day, exposed to the fact that their design, their purpose is to dismantle. Oh, America, I still hear the words of Jesus Christ saying, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm glad that it wasn't Peter or Paul or Abraham, David, or any of them that came, because, they would have brought heartache. But in him now, America, you need to live, move, have your being. Because what we need is abundant life in this country. That's what we had. That's what it was designed to give. I still hear his voice saying, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Isn't that what you want for anyone that you love? Anyone that you care for? Isn't that why you come into people's lives, hopefully, so that they can have more abundance? America, that's why we were designed. So that we could be a nation where anyone could come. Does not matter who you are. Anyone could come and have abundance, have life more abundant, have life, liberty. And would they would be able to pursue their happiness here in this place. America, God shed his grace on thee, and he allowed you to come about so that at least there would be an example of a place where men and women could have life, have it more abundantly. And listen, and all of you know who you are, especially you. That's what my mission is in relationship and in ministry. There in the place that I'm seeing, that my face is set like a flint toward in Port St. Lucie, there is abundant life. There is life for everybody. And there is life to be had abundantly. I trust God for that. Hey, in the second hour, I'm going to bring on the GOP chair there in Port St. Lucie County, Kenny Nail. And I want to introduce you to a region, perhaps, I don't know how best kept secret it is, because it's booming, actually. Florida is. I mean, all of Florida is. And choices that you have to make, that I have to make, between Texas and Florida. Well, folks, I've decided to follow Florida. And I'm certainly decided to follow Jesus there. I have to get right for that journey. I'm CL. This is the CL Bryant Show. I want you to come along with me on that journey. I want you to be there with us as we see his glory pour out over all the land. Don't go anywhere. You don't have both hours, download free the CL Bryant Show app. Be back.
I'm just a pilgrim on this road, boys. I'm just a pilgrim on this road, boys. I'm just a pilgrim on this road, boys.
broadcasting from within the borders of the greatest success story the world has ever known, the United States of America. It's time for an honest discussion from a fresh, new conservative voice. The C.L. Bryant Show.
Welcome back throughout the fruited plains of the greatest nation on the face of the planet, the greatest success story the world has ever known, and that is America. This is the C.L. Bryant Show, coast to coast and border to border, over the Talk Monster, the largest platform of talk radio in the nation, and that is Red State Talk Radio. And thank all of you for coming along. I am C.L. Bryant, and hey, I want to thank you for making the show as popular as it has become. I want to tell you all that through FreedomWorks, the C.L. Bryant Show is about to have its own YouTube channel, and our 5.2 million, I think it is, Facebook followers that we have on our FreedomWorks page. I certainly hope that we can create and then drive to the YouTube channel a majority, I mean, or at least a good chunk. My goodness, if we could get a chunk of those listening to the show at any given time, I mean, just 10%, 2%, if I get a percentage of them listening to the show, that 5.5 million every day, I do believe that there is a message from my discipline, my Christianity, and of course my gift of preaching. I believe that we can do some good here, Michelle. I really believe that we can. And both of us, you know, both of us need an old fashioned revival. We do. And I got to tell you this too. I feel as though the Lord, in many ways, is not only taking America, pardon me, to the woodshed. Not only is the Lord taking America to the woodshed, the Lord is pretty much shut me up in there and these last little bit here, and he's just wailing me. But whom he loves, he chastises. And America, that's how I believe, that's why I believe God still loves you. And he's standing there with arms wide open, waiting for you to turn your face toward him. His face, I pray, is turned toward us still. I believe it is. But you need to repent, nation. And people of the nation, because we have left what our first love has always been. Are you hearing me? We have left that. Oh my, and we have dabbled in things that you know better, America. Individual, me, you know better. We know better. We know better. And my discipline tells me that to him that knows better and does that type of thing anyway, that is sin. And if God loves you in America, I believe he loves you, he'll take you to the woodshed on that. And let me tell you something. Individually, he will whip you. Yes, he will. He will chastise you. And it may not, I'm not talking about the way a father would take a strap or a belt or something. I am talking about in ways that will drive the point home. America, what's it going to take?
For me, being one of those, you know, emotional kind of guys, and, you know, I'm nothing but a big crybaby, actually, truth is. You know, it's always something that with a matter of the heart. And I guess that's why it plays out that way across our nation, because usually that is what gets us the most. That's why the black vote certainly has been manipulated the way it is, because there has been a playing on the emotional appeals and angles to voting and politics. And what matters of the heart, when you hurt there, you want to stop that through resolution, conclusion, whatever. There has to be some type of closure. And America, what is it that we need closure to? I know that there are people who will not let us put aside our past. And I thank God that, you know, you find somebody who let you put that aside. In America, this was the nation where you could come, and that was the God of this nation. That is the creator of this nation, who would let you put aside whoever your father was, wherever you might have come from, whatever that may have been. This was the nation of second chances, and even more. Many of us have needed it over and over again. America, this was that nation. This is that nation still today, but it's going away. Oh, second by second, tick, 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 goes the clock. And in Georgia, you can see the hand. I mean, you can just feel and hear the ticking. Be back up there with you, Georgia, in just a few days, after Christmas. Georgia's Senate runoffs will determine the nation's future. There is no question about that. What happens and the decisions that we make even today, right now, will determine our future. You know who you are. And hey, listen, is it real? I believe it is. I believe everything about this American relationship that we have here is absolutely real. But our own actions and our misunderstanding and our lack of communication with each other, because we don't talk to each other. We talk around and yet, and we hem-haw about things here in this country that we should just put on the table and say, this is how I am on this. And I think you're like over here. And we want to be on the same page. So either you speed up and get to where I am, or let me just wait here until you get here, or why don't you stop and let me get to where you are? But either way, there has to be a point where we as Americans talk to one another. And you have to heal those things that are happening individually as well. There has to be a point in time. If there are some rough edges, there's some things that you need to smooth over. There has to be a point where you actually talk to each other and come to conclusion, closure, or resolve. Resolve is always best. Closure is good. And, of course, you know, continuity of a nation is paramount. We were born, we were built for relationships, right? We were created for relationships. And when it comes to having a relationship with your nation, and when it comes to understanding that we very well could lose our nation, that by itself should emotionally jar you awake, America, and help you understand that something precious is about to be lost. And something that may never appear in our children ever again is about to be lost. And that is love of American family. We've always been diverse. We've always been diverse. It's always been, even back in my day, back in the day, and certainly back in the day of my father and my father's father, melting pot was referred to as. Every little thing could go into that hot, boiling pot, that cauldron that was, in fact, purifying whatever it turned and made liquid. All of the bad stuff was burned away from it. And it made it liquid. Oh my, in the financial world that I was in for many years, oh, it was always good to know that you were liquid, you could flow, fluid, and that people you were dealing with were that way. America, as I was saying to you before the break, the top of the hour break, if you don't get both hours of the C.L. Bryant show, be sure to download that. America, as I was saying to you before the break, is that place where you have an opportunity to be and have abundant life. It is a place, I believe, that even when Jesus Christ himself uttered these words, and this nation as we know it now did not exist, it was a place that was formed and that came out of the words that he spoke. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There are people who whose lives that you enter, and those are the words I certainly hope that you're able to greet them with, the words of Christ. You're a blessing, or you know what I have learned? Oh, my God. You know what I have learned just in these last days, few days, America? I have learned that either we are going to be a blessing or a curse to this world, because we're so powerful, and if we are taken over and the reins of that guide and direct our movement in the world, if they are controlled by the wrong motivations, it'll lead us to bad places. Oh, and some of you know, I know. If you abuse the freedom, if you abuse the blessing that you have been given, I know you can be a blessing or you're going to be a curse to those around you. Be a blessing. Oh my God, when I think about how so many of us are to have traveled that road paved with good intention, only to fail to be a blessing that you were intended to be. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I hope that when you darken the door of someone's home, that you have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly because of the blessing that you bring. God uses us, Americans, in those ways. And let me tell you something. You need to understand that now is the time of choosing. Reagan said that so clearly. And it is certainly that again. Now is the time for choosing. I've chosen. And not that I ever stopped following him. I just wasn't very close to the fire as I should have been, when I should have been. And there's nothing more disturbing in ministry, lives, or whatever, is when you should be in position and you're out of position. When you're called on. America, you're going to be called on. You have been called on. Corey Lee was on with me saying that America had been called on before. And with the black farmer in particular. And somehow, there's a misuse of funds when it comes to subsidizing him as opposed to his counterpart. Why is it we give money away to people who don't want to produce, and we'll overlook the fact that there are people who would be an incredible asset to the breadbasket of this nation if they weren't overlooked? Well, coming up here on the other side of this break will be Kenny Nail. And I certainly want you to hear what he has to say. I'll be right back. This is the C.L. Bryan Show, coast to coast and border to border. And when we come back, I'll have Kenny on with me. Port St. Lucie GOP chair, newly elected. And there's some things that I really believe that I'm going to be able to help him accomplish. The type of thing that he envisions is something that I have done throughout the nation. And for whatever reason, God is directing me to that part of the country. And I just look forward to the adventure, the ministry journey that I'm about to embark upon. Come along with me. I'll still be doing the show, even though I'll be doing it from down in Port St. Lucie. You come on and go along with me. Because I believe that the good Lord is about to perform a work that he has already promised. I'll be back.
Red Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Are lifted high, our hearts are bowing in reverence.
CL, back with you on this great day in the USA. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming along with us as we build a bridge to conversation throughout our great nation right here on the CL Bryant Show. I am anticipating having Kenny Nail on here with me in just a moment from Port St. Lucie. I have been in and out of that area for the last several months. It's a wonderful, wonderful area, and people are building up there, and people are moving there and to Florida itself. Florida is one of those places, pardon me, that we want to emulate throughout the rest of the land, because it is a place that I think is still has, especially with places like the Villages being right up the road, really, from Port St. Lucie, with places like the Villages being right up the road, it is attractive. You're right there on the Atlantic side of Florida. It is very attractive. And so let me say this. If, in fact, the nation goes in a direction that socialism certainly will take it down into, then you and I will need to understand that there are still bastions in large states, although that can change now. If you bring Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. into this mix, that can change. And friends, when I think about those places that are still steadfast and that are still holding up the banner of Americanism, I think still of Texas and Florida. And Florida is where I'm wanting to see how God will supply a need. And so we now have this opportunity. We now have this chance to examine ourselves in ways that we had not been able to examine ourselves before. We have a chance now to garner a good gander at what got us here.
And so, Americans, what did get us here? What brought Donald Trump into office to begin with? I tell you what brought him into office to begin with. We were sick and tired of the way things had been. We were sick and tired of the place that we had gone with the Obama administration. We were tired of that. And I know a lot of you are sick and tired of what you have been in and brought to and all of that type of thing. But this is our chance, regardless of how this goes, America. This is our chance to take that look at ourselves. This is our chance. And so, let's take that chance and examine ourselves. You're going to have to do it because I just got to tell you, without it, the pain that we have been experiencing shall continue. Yeah, we're in pain. In fact, we're in pain to a point where we're crying out. This nation is crying out. When the soul aches, the body cries out. And America, the soul of this nation, has been aching. And because the soul of this nation has been aching, because our nation has been aching, our body, the soul of our nation has been aching, our bodies are crying out in every place that you can possibly imagine, America. Our bodies are crying out. I was talking to a young man the other night in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We were attending a Christmas gathering, and the pastor had brought in a gentleman from North Carolina, a bishop from North Carolina. And he before this, guest of mine and I were talking. And he shared with me a vision that he has for Port St. Lucie, and I am planning on moving down that way because I want to execute ministry there. And on with me now is Kenny Deal, and I want to welcome you for the first time to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, CL. Good to talk to you again.
You know, Kenny, let me ask you this. Now, you have a vision for your area, and he is the newly elected, newly ascended GOP chair there in Port St. Lucie. And I want to believe that he is the man right now for that job. And so, Kenny, give us an idea, first of all, about the area. Tell us about Port St. Lucie. What makes it such a great place?
Well, it's in the middle of everything and away from it all. And it's if you take a if you look at Miami in Florida and where Orlando is, and you take a on the east coast of Florida and you take a pin right in the middle of those two large cities, we are right in the middle of everything, but yet away from it all. It is the seventh largest city in the state of Florida, and it is a perfect place to live. Best climate, especially right now with the winter storm going up north. I think that we are in really good shape going into this week.
You know, all of our friends in the north, Kenny, that's one of the things. In fact, here in Louisiana, where I am right, I'm in Louisiana now. And, man, it is cold. It's going to be 28 degrees tonight. And so I do envy that warm Florida weather down there. Ken, the GOP.
Well, CL, just for a side note, I am a true native Floridian. I have only seen snow one time in my life, and that was 1977. in Fort Lauderdale when it actually, or 1976 when it snowed down there. And I was on a school bus on my way to third grade. So there you go.
I imagine you were like a young calf looking at a new lock on a gate. That had never seen that before. Let me ask you this then about the political climate there in Port St. Lucie. You're the chair of the GOP, and congratulations on your ascension to that chairmanship. What do you see happening? Is there any engagement that the GOP is expecting to do or should do with the community and the communities around it? Talk to us about it.
The communities, the GOP absolutely should. And matter of fact, and one of the things we're doing right now is I have established what I call watchdog groups within our county commission, our supervisor of elections, which we're already engaged in, our local city of Port St. Lucie. We have two cities in our county in which I'm the chairman of, which is Fort Pierce, Port St. Lucie, the two cities. Now, and we also have our school board. And we are, we've just opened up a, this past week. I was only been elected for 1 week ago. And these are committees of people, citizens just like you and I, coming together and want to go ahead and, you know, in our GOP, we have people that are passionate about our schools, passionate about our county government. Here in St. Lucie County, we are the highest taxed property tax rates in the state of Florida. And we're watching where our money goes. And it's one thing that local politics that people don't really look at. And it's what we're starting to do. It's what we have never done before. And this new Republican Party is going to be the watchdog. And it's going to come back to we the people. It's going to come back to us.
Man, I really,
that's going to take over our government.
I really like the way you said that the new Republican Party. And you know what, Kenny, you know, it has to be that way. It has to be something made new. And in making it new, you and I spoke about this. The church, I see, is very much involved in every facet of community life there. However, there are certain mores that still exist that we need as Republicans. I'm a Republican myself, folks, full disclosure. We have two Republicans, one white, one black, on the phone talking to me, talking to you throughout the Fruited Plains. And so, Kenny, let's talk this out here. What is necessary? Share with the audience what you shared with me as far as your vision of bringing and bridging perhaps the most segregated hour still in America, the white and black church. Talk to us about it.
Well, the one thing that government has, that we have done, and I have been saying this for a long time, is that the church has walked away from government. And that's not the way the Constitution was put together. The Constitution was put with God intended in it. The church was involved. And the church has walked away probably for the last 50, 75 years. It's time for the church to get back into politics. It starts at the local level. It's just like people in our living rooms right now that listen to you and I having this talk and what we were talking about the other day. It's time for us to start entering into that. We need to start reaching out. I look at someone who didn't come from very large means. I come from nothing. I was so poor living in Fort Lauderdale. We didn't even have air conditioning. I know what it's like to be on the to have absolutely nothing in life and to be in a position where I'm at today. I never went to college. I've never stepped foot in a college. And I look at the minority communities, the black community, the Hispanic communities, people that came from other countries, people in these inner cities. And I say, the one thing I have in common is that I was poor. And it's, and to me, we need to, the Republican Party needs, it's time for us to stop ignoring these minority communities, the black community, the Hispanic community, and say, we are the party that's going to be here and lift you up, show you how you could be poor and become something, because that's what was designed for the Constitution. Is we, the people, are empowered ourselves by our creator not by our government. And that's what the Republican Party needs to do. The Republican Party needs to get out, reach out to these minority communities and say, stop depending on a politician who's going to promise you a paycheck today to give you just enough money for you to be able to pay that rent bill that you're living in a one-bedroom apartment with three kids, and that you'll never be able to have enough money to go ahead and go to Disney World. The Republican Party does not want you just to have enough money to go ahead and pay those bills today. So this way you, and then those politicians will come around the corner and say, don't forget to vote me on election day, because that's all they really want. What the Republican Party does, they want to lift you up so you can eventually say to that politician, take your money, I don't want it anymore, because there's hope and there's a bigger future for me, because the Republican Party is promising the real change for me. And that real change for me is for me to go ahead and lift myself up, lift my family up, so I can one day have a vacation to Disney World. But the Republican Party doesn't want you to stop there. This new Republican Party doesn't want you just to go to Disney World when you're living in Florida, which is right here in Orlando, just 2 hours away from Port St. Lucie. We want you to eventually go to Disneyland. And then we want you eventually to take that trip halfway around the world to Europe. That's what we want as far as for our minority communities, for our black communities. We want to lift them up. That is the Republican Party that is today. That is the Republican Party that's on the grassroots, that 4 years ago, no one knew my name. This is the Republican Party that Donald Trump has put in place and is here today. Whether he is successfully in office and inaugurated on January 20th of next month, or whether someone else is, he is still going to be the leader of our party.
Wow.
And we will fight to put him back.
Preach, man. I mean, brother. I mean, you preach it, man. And folks, I've been telling you that I'm moving. I'm relocating to Port St. Lucie. And Kenny, I got to tell you, man, very seldom is my fired up by someone who comes on the program, because this is what I do all the time. I just talk all the time to people after person. But Kenny, I have to tell you, brother, you have fired me up this right now. I want to be a part of that new Republican Party that you're dreaming about. And hey, to all of you black folks in particular, understand that this was our first political home. It was our first political home, and we should come home. And Ken, we want to talk about that when I get down there I'll be down there in about a month. When I come down there, I want to talk to you about that messaging and that message. But friend, you keep fighting the good fight, and know this: as long as I have this radio show, and it looks like it's becoming very popular, they're about to give me my own YouTube channel and all of that. You have a place here, man. You have a place here, and once I get down there and find some studio and studio time and studio place to do, we'll see how we can hook this up. I want to help you. And I thank you so much for coming on. I'll let you give you the last word. Have about 2 minutes. Michelle, I might keep him for a couple of minutes on the other side of the break. Ken, can you stay with me through the break? So stay with me. But stay with me. Folks, just hold on right there. Hold him right there, Michelle. I'll come back to him in just a moment. I only have a very short time up against the clock here in about 1 minute. My guest is the GOP chair of Port St. Lucie, Kenny Neal, and so I want you to stay, because this type of enthusiasm is what I have been wanting to couple with. This is what this is actually a part of the healing process. And he and people who I've made friends with down there, Lee Lampson being one, I admire the preacher down there by the name of Sam Chess. However, this pans out as far as my journeying to Port St. Lucie, I know that God has me on a mission there. And because of words like this, because of locations that we have here at Port St. Lucie, I believe some very good things are possible. We'll talk more about it with Kenny Neal when I come back. GOP Chair, Port St. Lucie. I'm CL. Don't go anywhere.
You thought I was worth saving.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Stand up for America. Then Americans, stand up, stand up, stand up. God bless you. God bless America.
I do the best I can, always in the helping hand, and for the flag I stand.
Yes, my friends, my fellow Americans, for the flag I stand. Son of a World War II veteran, grandson of a World War I veteran, and the great-grandson of a Spanish-American War veteran, for the flag I stand, cannot respect, do not appreciate anyone who does not. And I want to say to all of my friends throughout the Fruited Plains, thank you for tuning in here to the C.L. Bryant Show Daily, coming live to you over the Talk Monster, Red State Talk Radio, the largest talk platform in the nation, coast to coast and border to border. If you're traveling through Times Square, look up above iconic Ripley's Believe It or Not, and there you will see the Red State billboard there looking down on Times Square, about a half block from where they dropped the big ball. And the C.L. Bryant Show, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, does show up there, pop up there on that big screen, old C.L.'s face looking right back at you. Thank you again for making the show as popular. I'm fixing to take it on the road. Not on the road. I'm going to relocate it here in about 1 month. I'm relocating down to Port St. Lucie for the reasons that my guest, the GOP chair of Port St. Lucie, newly elected, Kenny Nail, has stated. And Ken, I want to talk more about what you anticipate happening in GOP politics there in Port St. Lucie. What does it look like from the perspective of the GOP chair in the next year, 2 years, 5 years? Give us your vision. Kenny? Michelle?
I'm here. Sorry. I had John Moot.
Okay.
CL, I apologize about that. I think that the future here in St. Lucie County and Port St. Lucie is very bright. We got a young bench coming up, and just a little bit about St. Lucie County, where you're moving to. We are in a sea of red. However, we are a blue county. We've been a blue county for decades now. When you look at St. Lucie County, to our south, we've got Martin County, which is a Stuart, Florida area. Then to our west, we got and Martin County is a deep red county. To our west, we have Okeechobee County. That's another deep red county. And then to our north, we have Indian River, which is your Vero Beach, Sebastian, Florida area. That's another deep red county. Now, just on the other side of our south, we have Palm Beach County, which is also blue. But then we have the Atlantic Ocean, obviously. That's always going to be blue. Beautiful blue. But this is a blue county. 4 years ago, when a Republican president has not won St. Lucie County since 1988. That was George Bush, number one. And then we have not had any success here. The GOP has no success. Now, you have to understand, 1988 is the year I graduated high school, and I was living in Fort Lauderdale, Broward County, another deeper blue county, but we'll talk about that another day. But I moved to Port St. Lucie, and when I moved here, I said, wow, we are 21,000 more Democrats than Republicans. I looked at it as, that's a challenge. And I'm like, I'm sure the Republican Party is doing something about it. Well, that was back in 2007 when I moved to Port St. Lucie. But in 2016, no one knew my name. I was just someone, just like the folks sitting at home right now. I was a single father. I was raising my children on my own. My son graduated high school in 2016. And I said, you know what? I watched President Trump coming down the escalator, and I heard his speech that day. I heard what the media was saying, and they were trying to paint him as a picture of someone who was hating, hating Hispanics, hating the minorities. And I'm like, that's not what he said. And so I started listening to more. I was listening to all 18. I think there was 18 or 20 something candidates in the Republican Party at the time. And I was gravitating between Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, and Donald Trump. And on the primary, I support and I cast in my vote for President Trump, along with both of my children, who I raised on my own. And they also both voted for Donald Trump on that day of the primary.
Amazing.
So I went ahead and my son just had graduated high school, just turned 18. So it was a really good family moment. Both of my children were able to vote in their very first presidential thing together.
Awesome.
Well, now that I was no longer a single father with minor children, I rolled up my sleeve and said, let me go and get busy. Well, I helped President Trump in his 2016 campaign here in St. Lucie County. And this was the first time that St. Lucie County had actually voted for a Republican candidate since 1988. So even though it's a blue county, we had 21,000 more Democrats in it. And this is now called a bellwether county, to where it's a swing county. It's the third most important county in the nation and the most important county in the state of Florida.
Wow.
And that's where we live now. So we got busy, and we turned this county for President Donald Trump in 2016. And we did the same thing in 2020.
Wow.
We turned it again. But in 2016, I was nobody. I was sitting on the sidelines, and that was the year I got involved in the GOP. And I got sworn in to the GOP here in St. Lucie County January 3rd or January 5th of 2017. And by that first election cycle, when we had the election cycle for Ron DeSantis, I became the campaign committee chair for the Republican Party of St. Lucie County, growing more volunteers into the local party. And then we were able to go ahead and do very well for DeSantis here in St. Lucie County. Better than we did 7,000 better than what the Democrats and the party was predicting. Republican Party and the Democrat Party were predicting. The Republican Party here did 7,000 more registered or voters better. Well, keep in mind, we were 21,000 in the hole. We had 21,000 more Republican or Democrats than Republicans in St. Louis County. And since 2016 to now, we're just now under 13,000. We have registered 7,000 more Republicans in St. Lucie County than the Democrats have.
That is awesome, man. That is absolutely awesome. And that type of work, you will see the fruits of your labor. You know, Kenny, I was thinking about a passage of scripture that I believe is fitting here to close our conversation with, one of many that we're going to have. Jesus, when he came, he says that he had come, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I believe that God has raised you up and is ordering my steps in directions that we can actually enter into our journey together and say that he has done this so that the people we serve may have life and have it more abundantly. As you were saying, it doesn't matter if a person is able to sit at a lunch counter and order a sandwich if they can't pay for it. And so this is what we want to bring. And it seems like both of us have scraped and clawed our way to where we've gotten to. And I just honor that. I really do
appreciate your testimony and your life story. I look forward to working with you. And please tell my friends, Lee and June Lamson and Pastor Sam, that I said hello and look forward to the time coming where we are engaged hands-on in this fight together. I have about 2 minutes left. Kenny, I'll give you the last word.
Well, you're absolutely right for the people that you just mentioned. There are anybody who's listening to this, you know, June, Lee Lamson, Pastor Sam Chest are some of my closest advisors. And God has brought more additional closer advisors to me. And God has laid out a vision and a plan for this to all come. And he tweaks it all the time. Actually, when I think I have a way to do it, he has a better way. So I'm listening to God. I'm listening to my advisors. And without June and Lee Lamson, Pastor Sam Chess, and all the other people I have surrounding me that God's bringing into me, this is how it's being done. And there's people that are sitting at home right now in every part of this country listening to your show. And there are people that are talented people, God-given talents they have that the local parties need. It all starts at the local level. And these people need to come up, be a part of the movement, be a part of what President Trump has started. And we're going to keep moving this thing forward, and we're going to keep barreling through. And we're going to make this happen. We're going to turn this country to a country that's going to be where God is involved in our government again.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. God bless you. God keep you. Continue to fight the good fight. I know that you will, Kenny Nail, because you are fighting the good fight. I'll talk to you real soon, man. I'll call you offline probably over the weekend.
Thank you. Have a good day. God bless.
I'm CL. This is the CL Bryan Show. I want to thank Kenny again for coming on with me. As I have told you in times past, that is where I'm being led to. It's magnetic. And when he gave his spiel there about the area, and God, if you walk by faith and not by sight, the exciting thing about that is as he unfolds it to you, as he reveals it to you, it is so thrilling to see the promises of God take shape. And I'm on a new journey. I mean, I'm starting out at least not the way I began this journey in ministry. I began it with a companion. I began it with a wife. And I know that that's the way that's going to come about for me, because I've seen it. I see it. It just took having to be taken to the woodshed. And have the Lord just administer his chastisement because he loves me and wants to see the best for me and you, America. It took that. And I want to thank everybody involved in that. My pastor as well, and I want to thank everybody involved in that. America, the old song, I think it was the Chicago, the group Chicago, that had this song, America Needs You, Harry Truman. Harry, won't you please come home? Well, back that's been 30, 40 years ago when that song was being played. But America certainly needs leadership. And it ain't Joe Biden, as far as I'm concerned. Places like Port St. Lucie, I think, can be an absolute example as to how we get our nation back, how we save our republic. But Georgia, you need to step up for us right now. You can sure give us some breathing room if you do the right thing. Well, I want to thank God for bringing us to the close of yet another day, and I want to thank him for our men and women in uniform around the globe who defend our right to speak our minds. And until I'm able to talk to you again, my heartfelt desire for each and every one of you is that God would bless and keep you all. I'll talk to you tomorrow.